Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
To convince a child to keep walking, try switching roles with them. Let the child play the role of the parent. They'll immediately do what you want them to do.
You are raising in your home people that the Bible is very clear about their status. They need to be converted, not just a conformity of their behavior. They need a transforming encounter with the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is the ultimate priority.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Let's do this.
It's the Wretched Radio mail call delivery bag Q&A infotainment nationwide extravaganza featuring your voicemails, correspondences, communiques, dispatches, memorandums, and missives.
Any special message for all the kids watching at home?
What we need right now is a clear message to the people of this country.
You have 1,200 messages.
That is a bit above average.
Now here's your host, Todd Freakishly Tall Friel.
DeVille is here!
Ooh! Hoping, longing, wishing on a star that you'll send wretched things. When you stumble across something wretched, a sermon, a story, an article, send it, bitter, to idea@wretched.org. And if and you've got questions, comments, conundrums, or snarks, not quite. You know what I've noticed about head colds and everything since COVID?
What's that?
That everything seems to drag out and linger longer.
Mm.
I don't have any science to support that, but that doesn't seem to matter much these days when it comes to viruses and such. Virology? And
is that the word?
Did you get your shingles vaccination yet?
Me, you bet
you're going to die. Because if you get the shingles and the pneumococcal pneumonia at the same time, look out, buddy boy. Don't blame anybody but yourself for not heeding the scare tactic ads. 877-282-2337.
All right. This is from Daniel. Todd, I recently watched your exposition on the House of David and completely understand your perspectives. But what about all of those people who are saying that regardless of the story, it is driving people to read their Bible more?
One word, pragmatism. That would fall underneath the argument of pragmatism that the end justifies the means. And biblically, nothing justifies a bad means. Nothing. We can't use a good ending to say, therefore, we can do something that is prohibited. That's pragmatism. It's funny, I was on the phone with, this was really cool. I was on the phone with Phil Johnson, our dear brother. He's like Chicago. He's feeling stronger every day. Not there yet, but he's increasing with his strength after all of those treatments to send cancer packing at least for the next decade, which, praise God, that would be wonderful, or even 2 decades would be wonderful-er. He's getting stronger, and I was talking to him on the phone, and I actually felt really bad when it was done. Because I kept him on the line for 37 minutes. I genuinely was like, oh, Todd, you know that he's like not like 100% yet. How could you do this? Nevertheless, I enjoyed every single minute. And he was the one, I think, who brought up these representations on TV of Bible characters. And I think carefully parsed out the second commandment. What is the second commandment? That you should not make a graven image. Now, some people, an iconoclast, would say any sort of image that represents really anything biblical, but definitely God, would be forbidden. And we need to break those stained glass windows because it is a representation. I think the second commandment personally is not about the presentation, but about the heart's attitude toward that image. Does that image cause me to love that image? And Phil's claim was that is exactly what these Bible shows are doing. You love that guy. You love that Jesus. You love that David. But they're not the Jesus of the Bible. They're not the David of the Bible. And therefore, in his opinion, I think I'm representing him correctly, that they would be breaking the second commandment, not because they're making an icon per se, but because it is leading people to love an actor and his portrayal of a Jesus and not the true second person of the Trinity, Jesus. All that to say, got to watch out for the pragmatism. And praise God for Phil's recovery. But 37 minutes. Real, what were you thinking. Idea at wretched.org or 877-282-2337.
All right, this is a text.
Oh, by the way, I've got a correction to make.
Oh, okay.
I was wrong. I gave a different number than the one that was accurate. That's the talk show host way of saying I was wrong. I said that on my phone, I had 15,000 unheard voicemails. That was wrong.
Oh,
it's 1,500.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
So I just wanted to, for the record.
Well, I mean, artistic license. So you're good.
I can't even tell you how much I love that little slogan. The next time, Mrs. Friel, honey, you were a little sharp with me. Artistic license. I was just acting like your husband, Todd. So you got to let it go. 877-282-2337.
This is a text from Anonymous. Todd, I'm a 26-year-old woman and I have a conundrum. A 26-year-old single woman and I have a conundrum. A biblical marriage and family is my deepest desire. My question is, if marriage is, as I've heard you say, God's greatest gift to us here on earth outside of salvation, and as scripture says, he only gives good gifts to his children, why does he withhold this gift from some of us?
Yeah, I'm not sure that I said marriage is like the second best gift, but I did say that it is a massive gift. Having children is also a huge gift of the Lord. Why doesn't God give us the desires of our heart? I think we need to remember the principle of the book of Proverbs. You read the Proverbs and you would think, well, this is a quid pro quo system. If I do this, then he does that. Well, in general, yes. But we also have the book of Job, which shows a very godly, righteous man get totally shellacked. What happened? Was he not following the Proverbs? Did the Proverbs break? No. God is orchestrating history. He's ordaining all things. He's working out all things for our good, for his glory. And that includes the consequences of sin, the effect of the fall, his, if you will, ordaining / permission of evil. All of these things are working for his good. So in general, he gives us the desire of our hearts. But there's no guarantee that every single thing that you want, you're going to get. Furthermore, there's the issue of his fatherly discipleship of you. He knows what is best for you right now. Now, I do not want to minimize your longing or suggest that your desire to find a spouse, get married, and make babies should abate, but to give it perspective and to help you not perhaps grow a root of bitterness, God knows that at this moment, it would be less than good for you to find a spouse. He needs you to be single to work out what he is doing in your life. And so we trust the character and the nature of God and that everything he does is good. What God ordains is always good, always. And if you're single and you want to be married, but he's keeping you single, trust him. He knows what is best for you. God does not sit in heaven delighted that he's making his children grow a root of bitterness. Oh, look at how anxious she's getting. That is not even remotely close to our kind, wise, heavenly friend. Trust his character. Trust he knows what's best. Keep desiring a spouse. Make sure it doesn't become an idol. But know that if he doesn't provide one, the desire of your heart, while being perfectly biblical, is not what you need right now. And that goes for everything, by the way. Health, job, friend, children, all of it. Trust God's goodness. 877-282.
You good?
2337. Slow down. I'm trying to buy myself some time. I'm looking for an article that was on marriage that I thought, well, that's kind of a fresh, ancient perspective. You say, is it fresh or is it ancient? I say, well, it's kind of both because I have not heard this. That was titled, Marriage is the Antidote to Societal Decay. I suspect the author was Roman Catholic, but that's not the point. It's from The Spectator. Thomas Aquinas once explained that the opposite of love is not hate, it's use. And now he explains, where love is the complete giving of oneself to the beloved, a willing surrender of oneself, and a desire to achieve the good of the beloved. In other words, my love is focused on others, not on myself. Use, its opposite, is the inverse. Using another person in a consuming, not a giving, not a willing surrender, but sometimes forceful possession, and simply using them for my enjoyment. And marriage is the antidote to that. This was just some good writing, so I'm just going to read it. The debilitating, widespread, and liberal approach to pornography, contraception, and abortion have all contributed to the development of this culture of use. Each of these evils enables and encourages the individual not only to mistake himself, and not the family, for the essential unit of society, but accelerates the degradation of relationship and ultimately isolates the individual in a state where he alone is God and all others are not persons but are mere tools or instruments for pleasure. That is why we need to promote, well, it's not the only reason. That's one of the reasons why we need to promote marriage. Believe me, the best institution for helping you not be so focused on me is marriage. It's a good thing. Keep seeking it, but be content in the Lord. This is Wretched Radio.
Remember when we were kids and the adults would say, hey, if you don't like the weather, wait 5 minutes. It'll change. Now it seems the whole world's forgotten that climate has always been changing. And on Tuesday, April 22nd at 9 p.m. Eastern Time, Fortis Institute Fellow Dr. Jason Lyle will be joining us for a webinar to explore what's really happening with our climate. Not the panic you see on the news, not the politics, just an honest assessment backed by scientific evidence and biblical truth. What does God's Word actually say about our role as stewards of creation, and how do we separate fact from fear when it comes to climate predictions? Our goal is to equip you with the information that will give you confidence to discuss climate issues from a perspective that honors both science and scripture. You can register for the webinar right now at fortisinstitute.org/webinar. It is completely free. The truth about climate change with Dr. Jason Lyle. It is coming up again Tuesday, April 22nd at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. fortisinstitute.org/webinar. You ever notice how Christians sometimes dance around the J word? You know, judging. Yeah, we've gotten so scared of our culture that we're practically doing spiritual gymnastics trying to avoid it. What if I told you that righteous judgment isn't just some outdated concept? It's actually one of God's greatest gifts to protect his flock. That's why I'm fired up about our new resource, Thou Shalt Judge, with Todd Friel and Justin Peters. It's honestly judging how we judge. Listen, if you're tired of watching your loved ones fall for every wind of doctrine that blows through TikTok, this resource could be an answered prayer. 13 powerful lectures that will revolutionize how you view biblical discernment. Plus, because we love you, there's a free study guide included. It's time to stop tiptoeing and start standing firm. Your family and friends need you anchored in God's Word now more than ever at fortisinstitute.org. That's the Fortis store at fortisinstitute.org. Thou Shalt Judge with Todd Friel and Justin Peters. You've most likely been there, sitting across from a therapist, staring at their degrees on the wall, listening while they give you a diagnosis and tell you what pill and prescription they think are going to cure all your ills. You walk out of the office carrying a label, and you wonder why you feel even heavier than you did before you walked in. That's why Dr. Greg Gifford wrote Lies My Therapist Told Me, because sometimes it's not the medication or even the diagnosis that's the real issue. It's that the whole system doesn't touch what's going on beneath the surface. Look, not every struggle is solved with a pill. Not every label tells the entire story. What if addiction's not just a disease? What if your anxiety is not just a chemical imbalance? And what if the diagnosis handed to your child is not the final word? The world gives its answers, but rarely does it ever deal with the heart. Scripture does. Pre-order Lies My Therapist Told Me today at fortisinstitute.org/lies. That's fortisinstitute.org/lies.
God has given the church many gifts for the building up of the body. One gift is mercy. Those who possess this gift are able to show compassion and comfort the afflicted. people who are sick, dying, or bereaved. God cares about the things that afflict us and has provided comfort in troubled times. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Smell the irony? You will. This is Wretched Radio, hoping that you will send stuff that you deem to be wretched to idea at wretched.org, like this article, which I have to confess, the person who sent it concerns me deeply, because the article that was sent to idea at wretched.org is from CNN. What are you doing? Here's the ironic headline. What gave life on Earth its spark? Okay, tell us, scientists. Scientists recreating, did you catch it? They're recreating an experiment to determine how everything came to be, how inanimate went animate and became life. Well, see, here's the challenge, my scientific friends. If you want to figure out how all of this stuff got here, start from nothing. Don't work in a laboratory. Don't use test tubes. Don't use electricity. Don't use any of the chemicals that you have to organize them and move them around. That would point toward a creator. Instead, do it ex nihilo. All of these scientific efforts to try to determine this is how we think it all began. And we did some experiments. Time out. You can't do experiments to recreate what you think happened. What you need is an eyewitness account. And you got one, but they'll do anything to suppress that truth in unrighteousness. This is Wretched Radio, hoping you'll send more CNN. CNN. articles. As long as it's not from MSNBC, to idea at wretched.org or text 877-282-2337.
All right, this is a question from Peter in Minnesota. He has a, this is a deeply theological question.
Yeah.
Todd, who sang the Beep Talk song?
Oh, my son.
He thought it was me.
It's funny that he did that, because that's not like his thing. We went out into the garage and I said, hey, do 877-282-2337. He did, gave it to Joey, and he turned it into
1-877-282-BEEP
with the electronic voice thing. But do you hear Jack's laugh? Can you hear it? Can you hear it in here? Listen.
1-877-282-BEEP.
There, right there. Thanks for the memory. In fact, I'm trying to recall, was that recorded in Minnesota? Whoa. If that were the case, and the email came in from Minnesota, Jimmy, you know what that means, don't you?
What?
Nothing. Absolutely nothing. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from James. Todd, what are your thoughts on Christians taking CBD for anxiety?
Jimmy, mm-hmm. You do drugs. Tell me, what is... I always get this confused. What's the substance inside of the marijuana that gets you stoned and dumb?
THC.
THC. Uh-huh. Is there THC in CBD?
Well, some forms of it.
Okay, that would be a problem,
okay,
right there.
Okay, so let me tell you what I know.
Yeah.
Because I have looked into this. Not because I wanted a person... No.
Too late.
Just curiosity.
This is how careers get ruined.
Yeah, I know. So there's a small amount, I believe, of THC in all CBD, just because they're a part of the same plant, but right. Not enough to alter your mind. It's a very, very, very small amount with the oil and stuff, but they do make versions of it that do alter your mind.
Yeah.
But I think he's asking about the stuff that does.
Okay, because the mind-altering stuff, no. Right. But if CBD helps you like a vitamin, I don't think that I could state, no, don't do it, simply because it was extracted from a bush that can make you stoned. Having said that, though, I think there's a bigger question. Can you take stuff for your anxiety? That's the one that just kind of sends like rockets flying off for me. I think there's a better cure for anxiety. I think that there's a more biblical approach to dealing with depression. I think applying scripture to your heart is going to help you actually figure out and overcome what it is that is causing the anxiety. Because any medication you take, whether you buy it at a box on the corner, some dude wearing flip-flops, or you get it from a doctor, it is not dealing with what is the cause of your anxiety. It's going to mask symptoms, but it's never going to help you get better. Biblical counseling will do that. Seek a biblical cure. Get to the root of the issue. Sadness, depression, anxiety, that's merely a fruit. The root is something else. And the Bible and a good biblical counselor will help you identify that root and yank it out so that you can have shalom. Jimmy, I think, isn't Dr. Greg Gifford doing some stuff right now on depression and anxiety?
Yeah, he has a two-part series on anxiety, which started this week.
I haven't heard it yet because I listened to it on Saturday morning. That's my transform fix for the week is Saturday morning. You know, when I'm working out at the gym, which I don't think I need to mention. It's quite obvious. Just because, by the way, Jimmy.
Yes.
I have actually put on about 12 pounds.
Trying to?
No. No. No, I decided it's enough of these straws. You know, I don't know if I mentioned my hips, they're perfectly aligned right now.
Mm-hmm.
That it was that doctor who said, dude, you got to start working out your legs because they are tragic. So I did. And I've gained like weight. And I don't think I'm like putting on the belly fat, but man, did it put on weight just working out your legs for the first time in decades. 877-282-23. Did we answer the question?
I think so. Yeah, okay. I think so.
877-282-2337.
All right, this is from John. Todd, can you differentiate between the views of those who say there is no command to give 10% tithe versus those that say there is a command to tithe 10%?
Yeah, 2 Corinthians 8 and 9 ends it. There's just not a New Testament command that says you have to give 10%. Besides that, there is not an Old Testament command that says you have to give 10%. Those were taxes. The tithe, it was for the running of the nation, the running of the temple. These were not gifts to God per se. These basically were taxes. And the total, best you can tell, it is a very complex system in the Old Testament, which is why it's odd to me with all of the different tithes that exist that we say a tithe. So give 10%. In the Bible, it was 23 1/3%. Per year, because there were multiple tithes. There was the poor tithe. There was the festival tithe. There was the temple tithe. There was just 23 1/3% went to the running of the place. Then you gave to God from your heart. And that is reiterated in 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. There's nothing about just 10%. If you want to adhere to tithing and say, hey, people in the Old Testament tithed, I say then, hey, make it 23 1/3%. And I'll bet that sermon series ain't going to fly because, wow, have I heard some of those. You got to give 10% and God's going to bless. Oh, what was the name of that guy in Texas? He told people, give 10%. And if you don't like the results, we'll give you your money back. Well, a group of people didn't like the results and they're suing him. Do you think that he could have gotten away with a sermon series like that if it had been, you got to give 23 1/3%? It just wouldn't work. There's nothing in the Old Testament that says merely 10%. In fact, giving is always a heart issue, even in the Old Testament, and very clearly in 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. Give what you... This is in alignment with what God desires from his children. He doesn't want sacrifices. That's just... Does God need an animal cooking on an altar? No, he doesn't. He owns it anyway. He owns the altar. He owns the stones, the mortar, the cow, all the fire. It all belongs. He doesn't need that. What does he want? Your heart. He wants you to give from your heart. He wants you to give from a place that says, Lord, you have given me everything. You have drawn my lines in very pleasant places. Have it all. Just take it. This is what I can give to you. That's what he seeks. That's what he desires. Heart giving, not formulaic giving. 877-282-2337.
Hey, correct me if I'm wrong, but wasn't...
You're wrong.
Wasn't there even more that they had to give? Like if they were farmers and growing, didn't they have to, when they harvested, have to leave a portion behind for the poor?
Oh, the gleaning.
Yeah.
Oh, sure. There was the gleaning. If you go, I challenge you. If you want a challenge, and I'm telling you, this will be a head scratcher for you. Go through the Old Testament and look up all of the verses on tithing. and you get that, or you get that sorted, organized, so you can articulate it, then you're a better man than I, Gunga Din, because I'm telling you, you read through all of those verses and it's like, no, wait, was that the time for, or over, did we give the, was that 10% going to cover this? I do that every third year, seventh year for that particular. It's hard. And then there's the delineation between animal sacrifice, grain offerings. It's very, very complex. Now, they had it sorted. They knew how to deal with it. But the point is, it was not 10%. In fact, I don't even like to say it that way because it indicates that tithing was indeed a gift to God. Tithing was to make sure that the place was operating. It wasn't to be a gift to God. Those came from the heart. This is Wretched Radio.
And it's now time for your daily Fortis News Break, a production of Fortis Institute. China's banning missionary work. Starting in May, the Communist Party says all religious activity needs government approval. They're calling it national security, but we all know what it is. It's persecution. And here's the kicker. We're still buying most of our medical supplies from China. Scott Meyer, who runs a U.S. glove company, says that our dependence on China's medical imports has increased geometrically since COVID. And Vice President Vance warned about this months ago when he said if China cuts us off, our stockpile would run out in days. So it seems a bit unwise for us to depend on a country actively crushing Christianity for the supplies our hospitals need to function. The CIA just fired Terry Adrium, the official who pushed the military's COVID vaccine mandate. While at the Pentagon, she ordered military doctors to treat emergency use Pfizer shots as identical to FDA-approved versions. She ignored staff who wanted to let service members wait for the fully approved vaccine. And now Yale researchers are finding COVID vaccine spike proteins can stick around in the body for years, not days, as we were told. They're calling it post-vaccination syndrome, brain fog, fatigue, and nerve problems in people who never even had COVID. Yeah, so much for follow the science. In Tennessee, lawmakers are fighting back against abortion by mail. Their new bill would allow families to sue pill distributors for wrongful death. One counselor testified about a client whose boyfriend forced pills into her mouth after buying them online. And another witness easily ordered abortion pills from India and received instructions to hide their use from ER doctors if things went wrong. Oh, this is not healthcare. This is dangerous and it's predatory. Well, Russia banned the Elton John's AIDS Foundation last week. The prosecutor general called out the group for promoting non-traditional relationships and Western values. Russia's Supreme Court already labeled the international LGBT movement as extremist. Meanwhile, Apple is dodging Trump's 104% China tariff by moving iPhone production to India, where they'll make 25 million phones there this year, half of what Americans buy. Imagine if they put that much effort into creating jobs here in America instead of jumping from one foreign factory to another. And a Princeton professor gave a perfect example of the academic bubble last week, where he told NBC that Trump voters chose to destroy the republic because they didn't want to elect a black woman. Apparently, concerns about the border, inflation, and crime just don't factor in. It's all about race. Yeah, maybe the professor should step outside the faculty lounge and actually talk to voters sometime. And that wraps up today's Fortis News Break. I'm Jimmy Hicks. If you want more, you can download Fortis Plus or sign up to become a Fortis Insider for exclusive daily content. You can do both at fortisinstitute.org. And don't forget, you can subscribe to Fortis News on your favorite podcast app to get these updates daily. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called the bridegroom. Christians are waiting for Christ's return, which the book of Revelation describes as the wedding of the Lamb. Christ will come to usher his bride, his church, into eternity with him. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
One thing is clear. Jimmy is sexist. This is Wretched Radio. You were quick on the draw with Greg Gifford's Transform podcast on anxiety. Where were you with Libby Glossin's podcast on the issue of suffering. The woman who asked, hey, I want to get married, but I can't find a spouse. Why doesn't God give me the desire of my heart? And that person is struggling. Libby Glosson's podcast, The Better Way. It is this week's presentation. She's jamming. I'm telling you, that woman is crushing it. And if you're a woman, and that means more than nail polish, mascara, and putting on a skirt, if you're an actual woman, you will benefit from Libby Glosson's The Better Way podcast. You can find it at fortisplus.org, or you can find it wherever you do your streaming business. I encourage you. And you know what? She's only been doing it now for a month and a half, something like that.
Oh, no. Since October.
No, she hasn't.
Uh-huh.
No.
No, no, since February. That's when we kicked off everything. I'm sorry. My mistake.
Okay, let's talk about that CBD again. Are you sure? More,
I need some more lion's mane.
Okay, so it hasn't... so it hasn't been that long. You could catch up very quickly. Yeah. And you will hear intelligent talk for women. Wouldn't that be refreshing? All right, let me just look at the thing here. This is John Kratz's podcast, The Truth About Salvation and Why It's Something You Can't Ignore. So his desire is to teach theology to help you love the Lord more. This is Adam Tyson to young men, an encouragement to be under authority. That's the stuff that they need to hear. Brad Bigney, how gratitude can transform your marriage and you, one thought at a time.
And that one is good. They're going through it.
Somebody needed it, did he?
Well, it's Brad and his wife. Yeah. They're going through a 7-8-part series on gratitude.
He's gonna actually be in studio. I can't remember the date, but I'm getting ready now by doing more napping than usual, because he's going to exhaust me. Brad Bigney is like the Energizer pastor, that guy. I'm just getting ready because he is a storm. He's so enthusiastic. And this is what I really, really dig about Brad. Most people think, okay, Gospel Treason, great book, biblical counselor, marriage, all of that stuff. Oh, he's a shepherd at heart. He wants his people to love Jesus more. And I think that that should be the goal. Honestly, every shepherd should have that heart's desire to prepare people to meet their maker. Pastor, that thought will change the way you preach. It's going to change the way that you preach. Because if you happen to be the type that loves the details, the parsing of the words, you love the historical studies, you've got your biblical dictionaries, just their bindings are broken, you just love sharing all that stuff. Okay, that's fine. But does it help people love Jesus more? And when you make that your heart's desire, your sermons are going to change. Your counseling will change. Your advice will change. Your parenting will change. Everything changes. Just food for thought, with all due respect, Pastor. The podcasts that were aforementioned can be found at fortisplus.org. They're all awesome, and they're just ripping it up in the ratings for podcasts around the globe. All of them are top 5%.
Top 5%, yes.
Yeah, just amazing. You can find them at fortisplus.org, plus a veritable plethora of presentations on a daily basis, all for free. 877-282-2337.
All right, speaking of pastors, this is from Tom. Todd, how important is it that a pastor, or anyone in a teaching capacity, wear a suit in the pulpit?
You're just trying to get me riled up, aren't you? Oh, I read an article about a week or two ago, and honestly, it was kind of chaff. There's just not much there. But it did rightly identify that clothing speaks. So the question I think the pastor should ask and answer is, what do you want to say? What do you want to communicate to your people? Because you are speaking with your clothes. And you say, but I don't think about it. I just put on whatever's clean. I smell the armpits, and if it's good, then I go to church. But you're communicating, you're saying something. If you go to church as a pastor and you're wrinkly, what does that say to the people? Oh, this isn't very important to him. It's like he just rolled out of bed. That used to matter once upon a time. It doesn't seem to so much these days. The point is, you communicate with your clothing. And I think the category distinction that this particular article made was that if you dress in less than a suit and tie, you're probably focusing on, I want to be relational and approachable. Okay, so let's just, for the sake of this conversation, agree. That's what casual clothing communicates. You're approachable, you're accessible, and you're not trying to be a religious guru. Okay. On the other hand, you wear a suit and tie. What does that communicate? This is important. This is something that's different than the run-of-the-day mill sort of activity. This is a sign, furthermore, of respect for you. Furthermore, it is clearly designed to be an act of worship, stating to God, I wanted to put on my best finery for you. Now, let's assume those categories are accurate. And I'm inclined to say, yeah, I think they are. Pastor, which do you want to communicate? What do you want to say to your people? Do you want to say accessibility, or do you want to say, I respect you? Do you want to say, we're here to do something different? Do I think that I can make a law? Oh, believe me, if I could, I would. You'd be wearing a suit and tie and singing to a pipe organ out of a hymnal four parts. But I can't do that. But I would encourage it. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Marion. Todd White is coming to our community here in the future, the near future.
Still in business?
I think so.
Hey, gavilta fish.
There's so many people out there with uneven legs.
they got to get out in the streets more. Oh, wait, Todd White. Okay. Yeah. Todd, well, same thing. He's still in business. Right. I was thinking Todd Bentley.
Oh, no. This is Todd White.
Yeah, Todd White's big trick is the leg lengthening business. Todd Bentley kicks people in the guts with his legs.
That's right.
Okay. Sorry, I got my false teachers confused.
This Marion says, I hold Todd White as a heretic. However, is it possible that people can be saved with a sloppy, lopsided presentation of the gospel?
Sure. Yeah, God uses a donkey to talk. He can use a false teacher, but that doesn't give him a pass. And it shouldn't cause us to not be as critical as I think the Bible calls for, which is to mark them and avoid them. And Todd White probably even does a decent job of presenting the gospel. Probably he's got those basics down, maybe. It's just the rest of the packaging that is so problematic, and the healing business. And, you know, he teaches the tithing business too, and God will bless you and all of that stuff.
And he doesn't wear a suit in the pulpit.
Ba-boom, ba-bing. You want to be like Todd White? Fine. Don't wear a suit. Up to you, Pastor. 877-282-2337.
All right. This is another question from Peter in Minnesota. Todd, is it biblical to say Jesus took our shame?
Now, wait a second. So Peter asked about the beep talk?
Uh-huh. Yeah, he did. Yeah.
Okay. So I'm sorry. I kind of lost it with Peter from Minnesota again.
But, is it biblical that...
Did you sneak some CBD?
No, I did not.
In my throat coat?
In your throat coat? No. But he wants to know if it's biblical to say that Jesus took our shame.
Yes. Yes, he did. He took that when he was stripped naked. The connection between the crucifixion and his torturing in the garden, it's in my estimation undeniable. What was one of the scenes in the garden at the fall? They were naked and they were unashamed. They were not embarrassed by it. Sin entered, and so did shame come with it. And Jesus took that shame, bore that for us. How's about the introduction of thorns that we see in the garden? If I recall correctly, Jesus wore a crown of thorns, the sweat of the brow. Jesus sweated drops of blood. Yep, Jesus took our shame. He took our guilt. He took our punishment. He paid it all. And that's why all to him we owe. Jesus was willing to endure that on our behalf. The crucifixion was beyond grotesque. It was beyond our imagination of how violent and wicked and horrible and shameful that was. What they did to our Savior, and he did that so that we could be forgiven. so that we do not have to feel shame anymore? I sure hope the church you go to on Easter Sunday is going to celebrate his resurrection. And I hope that your church might consider, I'm not kidding, Good Friday, when you spend some time considering what our Savior did for us, including taking our shame. And Pastor, if you're going to do a Good Friday service, all I can say is, make sure you wear a suit. This is Wretched Radio.
Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. You know that moment when you're scrolling through your news feed on social media and everything just feels upside down? Yeah, that's the culture we're living in right now. But you know what gets me excited? At Fortis Institute, we're not just watching on the sidelines. We've assembled a team of incredible voices who are diving deep into God's Word every single day. I'm talking about Dr. John Crotts helping you integrate theology into real life, or Dr. Adam Tyson, who is speaking truth into young men's hearts, or Pastor Brad Bigney transforming marriages from surviving to thriving. But here's the thing, while we're standing strong, that's what Fortis means, by the way, we need gospel partners who'll stand with us. People who will look at the culture and say, you know what? The church needs more than just encouragement. It needs equipping. We're not starting something new at Fortis. We're strengthening something vital. And so if you're ready to join us in this mission, if you're ready to help us equip believers with truth that transforms, then head over to fortisinstitute.org right now to find out how to become an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, you know, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Masters University in Southern California. Beautiful campus, all of the athletics and activities that you've come to expect from universities. But it's more than that. The academic programs are most excellent, preparing students for the future. The Washington Post just said, number six for preparing students for the real world. All that. Plus, the Masters University isn't woke, and it is thoroughly biblical. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Masters University at masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
For 25 years, we've watched Christianity's place in America change dramatically.
This is Wretched Radio.
But one thing hasn't changed: our commitment to proclaiming God's truth without compromise. A quarter century of preaching the gospel, equipping others to preach the gospel, and strengthening the local church. 25 years of equipping pastors. 25 years of helping Christians navigate an ever-changing world with biblical wisdom. From our early days to our current home at Fortis Institute, we've had one mission: equipping believers to stand firm in their faith. Today, we're creating more content than ever before. Hundreds of hours of audio and video resources, daily biblical teaching and tools to help you thrive. Thank you for standing firm with us for a quarter century. Together, we've built something extraordinary for the kingdom of God. Visit FortisInstitute.org and join us as we continue this vital work. 25 years of together faithfully serving our King. And we're just getting started.
Until tomorrow, go serve your King.
Attributes of God. God is omniscient, meaning he knows all things. He knows all things past, present, and future. God does not learn new information, and nothing takes him by surprise. He knows what will happen and is working all things for his glory and the good of those who love him. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
If you are not Peter from Minnesota, feel free to send stuff to ideaswretched.org or 877-282-2337. This is Wretched Radio. Peter, grateful for you. Please consider sending things the way Peter does. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Mike. Todd, I went to Scotland for my 10th anniversary. So I have a soft spot for the bagpipes. Mm. However, the ESV lists the bagpipes as the instruments that call the pagans to worship Nebuchadnezzar's image. So therefore, bagpipes are pagan worship instruments.
And I've been biblical all along. The ESV says bagpipes.
Yeah.
Does it really?
That's what he says. I haven't checked it.
No, it does. Don't look it up. It does. Just trust him on this. 877-282-2337.
Here's another comment. This is from Jennifer. Todd, the other day you were talking about Idaho. I live in Idaho, and I wanted to let you know that Idaho recently made firing squad as its primary choice for administering the death penalty.
Wow.
This after one failed execution and then being unable to obtain the drugs. They also made the punishment for sex offenders who offend against kids 12 and under eligible for the death penalty.
Good. Yeah. Good. And it's not that I'm gleeful about people getting executed, whether by firing squad or injection. It's that we care for the kids. We care for the victims. We care for those who have been harmed. And if we love those people and justice and God, we need to be asking questions about the punishment. Now, the word punishment went flying out the window decades ago. We have correctional institutions, not penal facilities. Penal is punishment. We changed that because we thought that was too mean. We send people there to rehabilitate them. And look, I'm thrilled to pieces when somebody gets rehabilitated. I'm thrilled when people get saved. In fact, Jimmy, yes, we need to play more of those testimonies from Heart Cry Ministries.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Those are great people getting saved and like really bad criminals getting saved because God can save really bad criminals. Having said that, when somebody does something that so mars an image maker, the Bible gives us permission to say, government, thumbs up for the death penalty. Yep, we can have some debates about what qualifies and what doesn't, but I can tell you the Bible expands it well beyond murder. There are many permissions given in the Bible. For back then it was stoning, which was the death penalty. And I think the government has been given the authority to bear the sword. And if we have a high view of man, I think Christians should be talking more and more about the potential of the death penalty being applied far more than it currently is. The means of execution, I'm less interested in that. I think there's some biblical wisdom in stoning, by the way, because you don't know who casted the rock that ultimately ended the person's life. Furthermore, it's a community thing. That's why a firing squad kind of represents that as opposed to an individual giving an injection of chemicals. So that to me, far more debatable. But let's have the conversation about image bearers being marred and what the punishment should be. Good on Idaho. 877-282-2337.
All right. This is from Rick. Todd, my wife and I are really frustrated. We're looking for a church in our area. But why is it that every one of them we visit seems to have what they call a welcome time, where they take a break in the service and go around shaking hands?
Yeah.
When did this trend start?
Yeah, I don't know. It ain't my favorite. Now, look, if you were going to try to make support for it, okay, Jimmy, I'm going to give this a run. I personally don't think that is a regulated element in the service. Having said that, in Acts 2:42, we do see that fellowship is indeed something that feeds us. It's a means of growth. Now, everybody turn to the person next to you. Is that fellow? I don't think it is. I don't think it qualifies. So I don't think that I would use that verse to inject that element into the service. And as I don't see it regulated as something that should be done, I don't even think we see that modeled anywhere historically. Just a description, well, let alone a prescription for shake your hand time. So I would say that that's just an element that doesn't belong in the worship service. I get what they're trying to accomplish. We can do that out in the narthex. We can do that in the lobby. You can do it over coffee, but that's not what the worship service is for. God gets to regulate his own service. That's why at Alpharetta Bible Church, we do things differently. And it challenges you because typically churches, evangelical churches, far more chatty, far more casual in their different elements, willing to, you know, hey, everybody, sorry that we ran out of donuts this morning. Open your Bible, please. It's like, we just don't do any of that. Why? Because each of these elements is prescribed by God. Do this. And that means personality, incidentals, they all go flying right out the window. So when we start our service, it's follow me. Here's the call to worship. Bang. And we just go. And then the singing takes place, praying, no explanation. We read our Old Testament. We read our New Testament. We have a confession of sins. And we have the sermon. And the sermon, it's not a chit-chat fest. It's not intended to be kind of a, hey, everybody, let's talk about stuff and the Bible too. Please open your Bible. Let's dive in without any sort of informality. Why? Because it's worship of the living God. What does the football game this afternoon have to do with the worship of the living God? And the answer is absolutely nothing in a worship service. That is why I'm a big fan of making sure that each one of the elements is regulated and it is presented in a way that doesn't bring us into the formula. The greet time, I just don't think that God has said that's what I want you to do when you're gathered in formal worship. 877-282-2337.
All right.
Besides, I'm a germaphobe and shaking a lot, you get a lot of fellowship on your hands. And that means a lot of germ killer and a lot of dry hands. So no to the shaking hands in the Sunday service. Speaking of OCD, I got a question for Gifford. I want his help on something. There was a football player. Hold on, I might have it here in my stack. There was a football player that I was reading about for Baltimore, maybe something like that. And he couldn't play the first five games of the season because he had what was defined as, oh, here it is right here. Yep, got it right here. Hold on, let me get my glasses on. Colts Braden Smith details struggle and recovery from severe OCD. So he missed the first five games, was suicidal, and he went to some clinic, didn't really help him very much. So he got a drug in Mexico, which he claims is helping him. It's called Ibogaine, not legal in the United States. And he says he's doing better now. What was his OCD? Smith, 29, said he was diagnosed with a condition known as religious scrupulosity. According to the OCD Foundation, religious scrupulosity differs from the healthy practice of religion because it's driven by anxiety over engaging in actions that might offend God or be seen as blasphemous. This creates obsessive behavior, including constant prayer or repeated repentance, that can begin to dominate a person's daily life. And I have seen this a lot. This is not uncommon. Now, do I believe that you need an illegal drug from Mexico to deal with it? No, I don't. I think the Bible has the power to help you overcome what I prefer the word scrupulosity because it's not a clinical term. That's a historic term for people who would obsessively focus on something, repeat a behavior over and over again. I'm okay with that word and I've seen it. And I want Greg Gifford's help on it. So let's see if Greg Gifford is listening. Greg, send me a text if you're willing to tackle religious scrupulosity on Transform Podcast, available at fortisplus.org. Waiting?
Are we going to wait?
And waiting.
Well, while we're waiting,
yeah.
Here's a question from Connor. Todd, what do you think about a pastor and his wife during Wednesday night church service doing a series on marriage or parenting?
Okay, that you said church service, right?
Yes.
Okay, all right.
No one thinks of her in a pastoral role or attempting to call her pastor.
Yeah.
Would you think?
But the question is it acting the role? Is it doing what the pastor does? Now, if you said it's a Wednesday night informal gathering, you get together, not a problem at all. Of course, that's perfectly, I think that's fine to do things like that. But to call it a church service, and then to have a woman teaching would be in violation of 1 Timothy 2:12. And people, because of the subject matter, maybe it's more casual. Look, if it's that casual, then call it something else and just say, hey, we're not doing a church service. We wanted to spend some time talking about marriage. In order to do that, so that men can understand women and women can understand men, my wife is going to come up and we're going to talk through these things. Fine. But I think when you formalize it and say, all right, everybody, it's time for worship to start, then I would say that something like that, as beneficial as it might be, would be crossing the line. Disagree? 877-282-2337. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.